Blog Talk Radio.
Like Lady Gaga, she's so great. What's wrong with me? Anyway, hey everybody, it's August 14th, 2013. The summer's almost gone. Hey, you know what? I got a letter this week from a recruiter. I'm going to go right into it. Sometimes I get letters from recruiters, and I got a letter from a recruiter who wanted to talk about culture. She said to me, "Dear recruiting animal, I want to tell the story about how I learned about the importance of culture," because she knows I don't think culture is important. Anyway, so she says, "I was raised on the idea that when a recruiter interviews the candidate, she asks him or her exactly what they want in a new job, so she'll know when to call just in case something good comes her way. So you get them to give you a checklist, and then when you present him with an opportunity and he gets called fate, you confront him with the list of requirements that he gave you himself." So she says, "I called this guy who had given me a list, and I presented him with a job, and he went out for an interview, and they liked him, and then he said he didn't want to move. So I said, 'Look, Bill, when we spoke the first time, you said you'd like something closer to home with more money and more challenge. This job has more money, it's closer to home, and there's more challenge. Were you lying? Were you lying to me? What's going on?' So he said, 'Well, yeah, but I don't like the culture.' And I said, 'Culture? What's that?' And he said, 'Well, I think they're pretty uptight there. Everybody was wearing a suit and tie, and they just seemed uptight to me. You know, here, everyone dresses casual, and we get free snacks, and we have a lot of fun on our baseball team.' So I said to him, 'You call yourself a professional? You've got to be kidding me.' So he said, 'It's people like you who give recruiters a bad name.' And I said, 'Look, I'm offering you a fantastic opportunity, and you don't want it because they don't turn the office into a playpen. What are you, baby?' So he said, 'Well, my father always told me it's better to be happy than wealthy.' So I said, 'Well, that's different. You're from a family of idiots.'" I ruined their line. "You're from a family of idiots, and if it's in your genes, I'm certainly not going to change you. But let me tell you, animal, that experience taught me a lesson. And since that time, I've always made a point to ask about culture. When I meet a new candidate, I say, 'Tell me, Tom, do you have a baseball team where you work? Is that really important to you? And what about food? Do they give you lots of—" Sorry. "Do they give you lots of snacks here? And would that be a deal breaker if you had to bring your own food at another company?" I can't believe I'm reading this. "And does everybody shop at the Gap there? Are dress codes important to you? And do you like it when people put little teddy bears on their desks? Or do you like a more serious business atmosphere? An animal, it's hard to believe, but this culture stuff is dynamite. It's something people can really get into, and now I call myself the Oprah of recruiting because I'm so warm and fuzzy with the candidates." And that's the end of the letter, and here's my reply. "Dear, I've got something to say to you. Shut up, Oprah, because you're in the wrong studio, and Jerry, what show is this?"
"This is the Recruiting Animal Show!"
Thank you, Jerry!
You're welcome. Hey. Your phone sounds horrible. What are you on, man?
I'm on my phone, okay?
You're on a what?
my regular phone. Does anybody agree with them? Everybody's line is open. Can I get some feedback on that?
You sound like you're down a tunnel.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it is a little crappy.
But hold on a minute. You don't need any feedback on it, dude. I'm part of the crew here. I'm telling you.
Is this any better? Is this better?
A little bit. 20% better.
You want to hang up and call back on Skype?
Skype. I should call back on Skype. I don't want to wreck the show. Everybody's telling me. What about on Twitter? Are you guys hearing it terrible? Do I sound terrible?
Sound static.
Just assume you sound bad and try to deal with it. I mean, what, are you looking for one guy to say, no, I can hear you?
Kevin Menace says, I have a... Well, Daryl Disco says it's animal sound off today. Sounds like he's on Skype.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess I better call in on... Do I have to call back? I don't like it doing it at the beginning of the show.
It's getting worse. It's really getting worse.
Yeah. I'm going to use this guy. You know,
you want me to take over for a minute?
Yeah. Okay. You talk to me. You introduce the guest, and I'll go back in on Skype. Bye.
Okay. I will not be introducing the guest. I mean, that's animal kind of builds up all week for that. Okay. But I will like to announce my new Facebook group, Recruiters Who Actually Make Placements. I believe the title is self-explanatory. So I'll tweet that here real quick for anybody that's listening to the show, but you can look it up on Facebook. We're trying to rub out some of these other groups, recruiters who used to make placements, the other one, recruiters who wish they did make placements, and most importantly, animals group, which is, I don't know, recruiters online. What kind of name is that? Recruiters online.
Great. Well, I saw you were trying to think of a Facebook group. What prompted you to do this?
Well, it was as easy as hitting the button that says start a new group. So I did it.
Okay.
That's really about it. I don't have any big agenda. This isn't my new career. I'm not going to try to get all these people to pay to have me come to their town to have a cup of coffee. It's just recruiters who actually make placements. The world needs this group.
Okay.
It's hard to sort out all these people that haven't made a placement in years telling you how to go do it or build your social media world, all that stuff. If you make placements, this is
I'm
the
back.
Group for you.
I'm back.
Okay, well, hold on a few more minutes, Animal. So, recruiters...
I'm paying for this garbage service!
Recruiters who actually make placements. I'm gonna post it or tweet it now. Okay?
Sounds good.
Who's the spokesperson? The dog?
Mackie?
Yeah,
he could be. He'll
Jerry, fill in. Shut up! I'm taking my show back, okay?
Shut up, Oprah!
No way! No way! I was going to give you a chance to introduce your stupid new group anyway.
Okay? Oh,
okay.
It's recruiters who actually make placements. I'm going to stick it right there on Twitter right now. I'm going to tweet it.
Okay. What about my guest? Did you introduce him yet?
No, I don't know who he is. He's an online job order guy.
Jason Webster, are you here?
I am here.
Well, what kind of phone are you on now? Maybe you should call back. What kind of phone are you on?
I do not have a landline. How about that?
Jesus Christ! That's not fair! Why didn't you tell me beforehand? You can't have a show when you can't hear the people, okay? Gee whiz.
I hear you.
Yeah, you hear me. I thought you were smart. I read your blog. I thought, oh, guy's got a brain in his head, and he lives in the United States, the number one country in the world, and he can't find a landline. Give me a break, okay? That's wrong! Okay. What about my good friend Kelly Blockdyke, Talent Talks? Are you here? Or Celinda Appleby, that's who I mean. Celinda Appleby, are you here?
No, she just threatened to hang up.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna hang up. He forgot about me.
Wow, that's
line, okay?
She's got a pretty quick temper here.
No.
Very flighty.
Jason,
no, you said 10 minutes. It's already been 10 minutes. So
nope,
I thought
been
maybe you'd give
her a whole
me.
10 minutes, Animal. Don't shaft her like you try to do me all the time.
Okay. Look, Linda, do you want to tell your story or not? I'm not in the mood to screw around, okay?
Okay. All right. We can get right to business. So anyways, I've been with HP for 3 years. I was on their sourcing team and doing social media recruiting, you know, on my own. And
So Linda's going to tell a story. Then we'll get to you. You might figure out a better way to get on the phone to us while she's talking, but, you know, I'll leave that to your ingenuity. I mean, if you're a social media guy, you're a communication guy. Okay, go ahead, Selinda.
Okay. So last June, they posted an internal opportunity to lead social media, digital media for the staffing organization that I'm a part of. And so I applied. And 9 interviews later, it was a very, very long process. It was between me and another internal person. And so I decided to do some research because I didn't feel that anybody at HP, especially in my staffing organization, was on social media as much as I was. So I started putting PowerPoints together, anything that I could do to make myself look like the most knowledgeable in social media, and that included clout. So I went to clout, and I pulled every single HP employee that was on social media, and they were nowhere near my clout score. And I'm not an advocate of clout by any means. I'm not saying that that is an end-all, be-all, but it definitely helped me get my job at where I am today.
And when was that?
This was last June. I ended up starting my position in October. So think about, like, all summer interviewing and fighting to get this job.
No, cool. You're not an advocate of clout, but it got you the job. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not saying – I don't, like, go to clout every day. I don't really care about the clout moments you guys were talking about. I definitely don't think clout's a measure for good recruiters. It's definitely going to measure your social media output, and, you know, it leverages who you know. But I'm not, you know, wearing a clout T-shirt every day or anything like that.
What's your
I'm just saying
score?
That it's,
what's your clout
it was
score?
Helpful.
What's your clout score?
I think
score?
It's like, I think it's 66.
How come you got more than me?
I don't know, Animal. I don't know. Maybe because I'm
okay.
Your friend.
So
I tried to sign in there yesterday and just shut my stupid account down because clout is absurd.
Okay.
And I couldn't even sign on. This was the day after they sent me the... Clout Movement Award, which I'm sure we all got, and
okay,
it froze up my outbox when I tried to forward it to Animal. Clout, oh, I almost said something very horrible that would only be said in the company of drunken men.
Okay. Well, look, Selinda Appleby came on so she could tell us that she got, somebody actually got a job using their clout score. That's the proof. Now, I'm going to ask our guest.
All right.
What do you think about clout there, Jason?
Well, that's an interesting story.
Can you listen? Hold on, that phone. Do you want anyone to hear you, Jason? Do you want anyone to hear you? Come on.
Sure.
Well, you should be calling on a different. You should be calling on a different device. Okay? It's hard for it to be any worse than it is. Go ahead. We'll see what can happen. Otherwise, I'm going to kick you off if I can't hear you, and you'll have to go out and find a payphone or something.
10-4. I'm dialing it through another device as we speak.
Well, why don't you answer about clout? Or you can't do two things at one time. I understand that. Okay.
I'm a multitasker, but I'll answer the question. So, actually, the most viral job description we've had on the OnBig platform was the most viral because of clout, and not because clout drove traffic to it. It was because there was a requirement on the job, and the job is at Salesforce.com, by the way. And the hiring manager put that it was a community manager position, and the person needed to have a clout score of 45 or higher. So that got picked up by multiple bloggers, including TechCrunch, and it just went nuts. And most of the commentary on the job was actually, you know, kind of on the fence or negative. But at the end of the day, the hiring manager ended up getting two good hires.
End of the day, is an animal bad word. If you would have done the research before you came on the show, you would have known that, okay? Now, something else, though. I don't get what are you telling us? So for social media jobs, clout score is important, or clout marketed the job for you? I'm not clear what you're telling me.
So the hiring manager at Salesforce.com put, you must have a clout score of 35 or higher to get the position.
Yeah.
And that drew a lot of people to the job to debate whether a clout score was good or bad in terms of being a requirement. And so because of that debate, it attracted people to his job, good, bad, or ugly, and the result was he got two hires.
Look, I'll give Celinda Appleby, all you people. Oh, and the people are complaining. They can't hear you, and I didn't give this Celinda enough time. But
Animal, I've got to just interject. You've got a bad audio going on here on several fronts. Yours is a little bit better than earlier, but there is an audible pink noise slash white noise in the background going on.
I can hear it, too. What can I do? Okay. And this guy didn't even try to call on a good phone.
No, he didn't even try.
And he's supposed to be a social media guy. Now, your name is Jason Webster. I got to get to Rebecca Sargent in a few minutes. I know I've wasted time. Please stick with me, everybody. Okay, this guy should be a good guest. I was very excited about having him on, okay? Now, because he's got lots of opinions. He just called on a thing that we can't hear what he has to say. But his name's Jason Webster. He's with a company called OnGig.com, and it looks like they're a recruitment marketing firm to me. Is that correct, Jason?
That's a good description.
You want to tell specifically what you do, very briefly?
Of course. Really what we do is we help companies create people-based job descriptions. So
that's bullshit! Don't give me that!
Woo! Wow!
Okay? That's a lousy elevator speech. What you guys do is teach them how to use social media to put out their jobs, their social media strategies, and specifically, you host videos for them where the manager talks about the position and the employees talk about what it's like to work there. Am I correct?
Yes, but those are the people I'm referring to.
I don't live there, and I know. I can tell it. Why can't you? Why can't you be direct? You're in the communication business. When anybody starts out saying, I help, that help is an animal bad word. You know you're being shafted when someone uses it. Don't use it on this show, okay? And what's your job there?
So I'm one of the co-founders of the company.
Okay, but why is the other guy the boss? Why are you only number two?
Well, my background is recruiting, so I kind of serve as like doing the sales, recruiting, and really playing a proxy for employers, recruiters as we build the platform.
Okay, they're complaining. The buzzing is only there when I'm on. Well, what can I do? I call them.
No, they're incorrect, Animal. It's a consistent buzz.
I hear it consistently as well. Okay, you know what? We're off to a terrible start. You know, I got to tell you something, Jason. When you have the short form, for example, it's not EX, it's EG. EX makes more sense, but that's not common practice. Okay, I had to figure it out. When you
hey, Animal.
At least I did provide some talking points.
Can I suggest you mute each line individually and see if we can isolate the perpetrator here? You've got a bad caller in there.
Okay, hold on. I don't think it's the caller. I think it's the system today. Sorry.
So you're not even going to try it?
Trying it, but, you know, the show's going down already. When he's talking, you know, and I can just listen, I'll do it. Okay.
Am I contractually obligated to stay on for the whole show?
It's gone away. I cut the last person, and it's gone away, okay?
Oh, so it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
God.
Okay, now if you fix the caller's phone, that'll be good. Okay, now, I mean, the guest phone. Now look. Area code 602. That's who it was.
That was Arizona,
somebody in
I believe.
Phoenix.
Yeah, yep. Phoenix.
Yeah, 602. Okay, Jason, and Jerry. I'll just for Jerry's sake, I'll point it out. Your EG is Latin. Also, the Latin on the front page of your website, OnGig website, et al. Only has one L in it. A L. It's not A. Okay, you guys got to get your Latin straight. Okay, first of all. Now here's the thing we're going to talk about. You claim that agency recruiters are crap. Were you an agency recruiter?
Okay, so that word never came out of my mouth. But we'll
no, but
that.
Your article, your very long article, talks about this candidate. Look at exactly what you said. Steve received a LinkedIn mail an in-mail on LinkedIn from a recruiter he hadn't spoken to before. God forbid I haven't talked to everybody in the world. There's something wrong with that, right? And then this agency recruiter, bad guy, gave high-level details about the opportunity. Only high-level details. That's what you're saying. You're saying that's a big mistake. The recruiter only had one conversation with Steve and did not meet him in person. You know, maybe Steve lived 1,000 miles away from the recruiter, but that's not worth mentioning, right? So Steve was told that he was going to be submitted to the company and that he would get feedback in a couple of days. The recruiter never asked for Steve's references after the first conversation. And you're claiming that that's typical, and then the recruiter placed Steve and charged $20,000, and that's a disaster. He was cheating the client company. That's what your claim is, okay? And if you want to deny that you're saying that agency recruiters are crap, you're talking out of two sides of your mouth.
Well, let me talk about that. So those weren't my words.
Go ahead.
These are the directors that I talk to all the time. That's the story they're telling. So me, my background is 14 years in agency recruiting. So, you know, I started recruiting when there were no computers on the desk. I had a hot book. I had a stack of resumes, and when I got a little bit successful, I got a pager. So when I was out on the road meeting people, I would actually get a 911 page and run to a payphone and call somebody.
Was that what you're calling in on?
Yeah, maybe it is. Touché.
I have to ask you, though, are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not on a speakerphone.
Okay,
there's lots of people who say they can do business on their cell phones, and this is proof that they're not. What kind of phone are you on?
I'm actually on Skype.
You're on Skype. You know what? It's specifically the instructions, don't use Skype. Are you using a headset? Are you using a headset? Okay.
Rule breaker.
That's for people who are overseas or they can't, you know. You live in the United States. Use your head, okay? When it says use a LinkedIn, use a landline, there's a reason. I've been doing the show for a long time, I know. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm trying to save some money.
You're not. You're dumb for doing that, okay? That's not smart. Go ahead.
Okay, where was I? So I have total respect for agency recruiting. By the way, I don't think all agency recruiters
are
after
that article, you don't have any respect for us.
No respect.
That's not my story, though. If you read on, that's one section. What I talk about is I see it as an opportunity because there are a lot of crap recruiters out there. Even people on this call would say there are crap recruiters both in-house and agency out there.
I might be one of them.
I especially in-house. Crap, just full of crap.
HR,
the opportunity is more about setting the expectations two-way street. It's on the employer, too. Like, they're not setting the right expectations in conjunction with the agency. And then, you know, an agency recruiter, you know, there's an opportunity to show more work. You know, like, show more of what you do versus, I mean, the days of kind of like having the secret, you know, file of clients.
Does anybody know what he's talking about? First of all, shame on you. Shame on you. Why didn't you tell me that you can't get a decent phone and I would have tried to arrange something for you in your city? Because I'll bet you I could find you a phone to use, okay? Shame on you for breaking the rules in such a blatant manner, and you're going to listen to the recording and you're going to see how you screwed things up and made it hard for me to listen to you, okay? Shame on you. Next thing.
Okay, we got it, okay? The guy's a bonehead.
I'm mad at Blog Talk Radio too. And I'm displacing it some of it on guy Jason. Okay.
Okay.
What's your problem?
Hey, maybe we can explain to Reed Creamer what a pager is. The young pup doesn't know.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
We'll do that in the after show.
Hold on. Are you saying that this guy, this recruiter who placed Steve with the company, didn't do a good job?
I'm saying that that's what the director's perception was.
No, I want to hear.
Did they actually hire the guy?
You don't want to answer the question. Come on.
I didn't.
Did they hire the guy?
I know, but
They hired him.
So how did he do a bad job?
Everybody thinks. Did he do a good job or not? He gave them a candidate that they didn't find on their own. Okay.
He just got hired, so how would I know?
Did he do the job?
I don't know. He just got hired. This is a conversation I had a couple of weeks ago, so I think he's a new hire.
I want you to get that recruiting manager and ask her to come on this show, okay?
Sure.
And tell us what the follow-up is. And tell us what she thinks. Did the recruiter do a good job or not? Because you obviously don't, and you're trying to deny it now. You're afraid of us. Don't be afraid. Say, I think the guy didn't do a good job. And I'll tell you something else. You didn't tell us how long the recruiter talked to Steve. Maybe he talked to you looked at Steve's profile. Steve was a great candidate. He talked to him for 30 minutes or an hour, said, this is great. He went right through his resume with him, and then he submitted him. Is that wrong? Does anybody have an opinion here?
I will tell you this. I will say here's one thing that I think they didn't do right, and that's they never set eyes on the candidate. Like, if I'm going to charge people, even if he's miles away, they have Skype. There's something. You got to put eyes on somebody.
Give me a break. Give me a break. What's that big deal with the eye? Where do you live? What city are you in, Jason?
I'm in San Francisco.
Okay, you're 3,000 or 4,000 miles away from me. If I call you, do we have to have a conversation on Skype before I can send you out to a company?
Well, that's your call if you're recruiting me.
No, you've got an opinion. Can't you answer a question? Why are you so evasive?
He doesn't want to offend anybody. He's looking for customers.
Yes.
Oh, he's on the wrong show if he doesn't want to offend people.
Gee whiz, he's keyboard tough, you know? He talks tough on his blog, and here, oh, I don't have an opinion. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I think you should meet somebody or see somebody. I definitely
Does everybody
do.
Agree
That's
with
the
that?
Service
that
I provide to my client.
If you don't, what are you going to miss when you don't see the guy on Skype? Yeah. What are you going to miss?
Well, I'm not going to know who shows up for the interview the first time, what they're going to be like, that's for sure.
What do you mean by that exactly? What are you going to miss? I'm not clear
I'm going to miss their mannerisms. I'm going to miss, like, you know, their cues. I'm going to miss, are they on time for things? I'm going to miss, like, how do they respond to questions? I mean, those are all things.
You're talking nonsense.
Hey, Animal, are you going to open up, like, a six-pack of beer if this is just going to be a bar conversation about recruiting? Or are we going to get to some substance where... I mean, what's the goal of today's show? It's been 25 minutes.
Okay. Well, he says it was corporate. He says hiring managers suck too, right? But Steve Nahez, you ask him a question. Go ahead. He's a recruitment marketer. He says he can bring people into companies. Okay, ask him a question. He likes stuff online, just like you. Steve Nahez.
You know, I actually, the only thing I did to prep for this show was make sure that I used a phone. I've got about 8 of them to choose from. And I have no idea what to ask this guy because he set out and gave one example of some hiring manager that's all bent out of shape on a new hire because it's mad about the recruiter because the recruiter didn't do all this other extraneous activity. We don't, in my office, we got 5 recruiters. We don't Skype people. We call them on the telephone and ask them what they want to do, and we match them up, period. And for our office, that works fine. For some other offices, if you're with Korn Ferry, maybe you've got to prepare presentations or video presentations on the, I mean, there's such a variety. I was just curious at what the goal of the show was today.
Well, we want this guy is in recruitment marketing, and he thinks he knows a better way for companies to bring in people. So the first article I read was talking about how lousy agency recruiters are, right? And then he goes on to talk about what corporate recruiters are doing wrong, and then he offers his offering, which is pretty good. It's a lot like online job tour. I like the videos, Jason, just so you know. I like it when you see the people talking about their jobs, you know, the people in the company who are already there. I think that's good, but I think everything else that you're saying so far is not so good, except I agree with you. Hiring managers suck, and you say the large majority of hiring managers could do a better job of participating in their own rescue. That's a terrific line. The majority of hiring managers don't recognize that someone's trying to help them. They don't give their time. They just say, where's my candidate, right? And then when you've given them candidates, Jason says this too, they don't tell you what's wrong with the candidates they've seen. They just say, get me more. Is that right, Jason?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But who goes with that? Who says, oh, okay. Who doesn't say, yeah, what'd they miss? What didn't they have? Why don't you want to interview them? Are you telling me recruiters just go say, oh, okay, I'll go get you another one? Whee!
Jason, he's talking to you. Jason, I don't know if you can hear it on your phone, but he's talking to you, okay?
I can hear it. I didn't know that was a question. So, I would say, a couple of things. One, you know, in my agency days, of course it was frustrating. I'm used to getting no feedback, or then you get feedback and the requirement has changed. So as I have gone into this technology space, you know, I talk to a lot of in-house recruiters or so forth, and they say the same thing. Like, for example, one client we have, they're like, we've had 20 in-house interviews, and that results in one hire. You can imagine how frustrated they are, and they're the only recruiter there. And by the way, like, they get a lot of their flow coming in from agencies. So the hiring manager's indecisive in changing the requirements. Now there's a trickle-down effect. It's the in-house recruiter, their agency partners, all the candidates. Like, there's a whole audience of people out there who are frustrated because the hiring manager doesn't really clearly know what they want and then can't clearly articulate it, you know, in terms of on the back end. And then make a decision.
Yeah.
But hold on a second. Whoever is feeding that manager, candidate after candidate, is enabling him to keep being a moving target.
Yeah.
That it's the recruiter, HR, talent, agency, whoever is doing it, it's their problem, not the manager's. If the manager knows that all he has to say is, yeah, send me a couple more, well, why not? Cut him off!
But it is the manager's problem if he doesn't hire the right person quickly. It impacts his business. So taking a little bit more ownership, potentially, and driving the process, those managers, and there are some out there, they get hired, better hired, faster.
Rebecca? We're going to go to Rebecca for a little while. You want to tell us your story? Hold on, Jason. We'll get back to you. Rebecca, go ahead.
Sure. Okay.
Your name is Rebecca Sargent. REBECCASARGENT on Twitter. Go ahead.
Yes. I am the recruiter's coach. I train, coach, and place recruiters across North America. And I have just, at the beginning of the summer, released some training programs. And one of the training programs that I released, was a webinar, a four-hour webinar for independent recruiters to learn how to market candidates. And since the beginning of the summer, we've had 30 people go through the process. And just recently, I heard back from one of the guys who took the course back at the end of June. And he came to our class. He has 20 years in the industry, and he's been running his own company. And as he runs his own company, he's only been filling orders. So he's been relying on his clients to give him the job requirements. He came to our class. He brought a couple of resumes with him. During the class, we redefined his niche for him, helped him rate his candidates, build a marketing plan, and gave him the tools to implement that marketing plan. Over the next 30 days, he made one phone call to one client and secured an interview for one of the candidates he brought to class and landed the job for the candidate. That made him $25,000 in the first marketing call.
And if they want to be able to do that, how can they get in touch with you?
All the information for my classes and how to get a hold of me is at RBS, that's Rob Bob Sam, staffing.com.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And it's under training. Our next class is on the 23rd, and it's only for independent recruiters. I have two spots left, and we're also giving a rookie recruiting class. And the rookie recruiter class is you spend the morning in a webinar for 5 days, and in the afternoon you go back to your desk and you learn how to headhunt.
Okay, Jeremy Roberts is saying I got to give you the Shepherd's Hook, okay, and he's upcoming show. I will work with you. We have to make a little more punch into your ad. She's a proud sponsor of the show, though, okay? Thank you, Rebecca. We'll get back to our guest. The guest, I'm sorry, Jeremy, you didn't want to say anything. Thank you, Rebecca Sargent. I just have to announce something. I posted on FacebookRecruiter.com an article by Amy Beth Hale today talking all about how sorcerers are placing recruiters. Recruiters are just paper pushers and bid people. What the hell is that noise? Anyway, so now she left a comment on that blog that she's no longer just a sorcerer. She's got a full desk recruiter. You know what? You can't get better than that. Hold on. Let me turn some of these people off. Does it sound like everybody else that there's pipes creaking or something like that? Hey?
Sounds like the twilight.
That's terrible. You know, that must be the Skype. Okay, Jason, are you still with us?
I was on mute, so I don't think that's me.
Okay, can everybody hear that? Sounds like a tuba is playing. Hello?
Oh. Everyone's gone.
Okay, Jason Webster. Webster. You know, if you were on a better phone, sorry to beat this one, but if you were on a better phone and you had more substance to your voice quality, it would be easier to talk to you. And I'm sorry, I feel like I'm talking to someone at a distance. Here's the guy who's saying it's not good enough to talk to someone on a phone. You have to have Skype so you could examine the lint on his lapel, and he can't even get on a decent phone to talk to me. Doesn't that sound contradictory? Shame on you. I shouldn't say it so much. I'm sorry. Ask your mother to forgive me for embarrassing you on the show. Now, look, what would you do? How can the hiring managers improve, since you say that they're no good? And that's what really attracted me to your ideas.
Well, I think part of it is they have to be, as I put it, participate in their own rescue, as you put it there.
Yeah, how do you get them to do that? That was what Jerry was saying. A recruiter with a brain in their head would, you know, make these guys knuckle down and conform. How would you get them to do that?
So it's by getting them more involved, period. So, and I can tell this, give you an example and a story. So we have a customer called Lending Club, and recruiting a guy named Brian Sampson, good friend of mine.
Talk
and
louder.
Brian
talk louder. Add a little pep to your voice. Pep.
Talk louder. All right.
Talk louder.
Talk
add
as
pep.
Loud as I
talk
can.
Louder. Add pep. Okay? Make us feel like you're living.
I'm alive. I'm not a cadaver.
Okay, so let's show it in your voice. Show it in your voice, okay?
So Brian had an issue in terms of trying to recruit against, you know, most of the brand names in San Francisco, like Google and Facebook and Square, and he didn't really have a brand with engineers. So what he did was he got his CTO and a couple other people on the team together. They made a quick video. And then what he did was he put that up into a job ad along with the, you know, the usual job description. And there's commenting allowed there. But what he did was the hiring managers had some ownership in the process. So they shot that out, and the end result was on that page alone they got 341 hours.
Okay, are you telling me how they got a recalcitrant hiring manager to participate? Are you telling me, answering the question that I asked you?
Yeah, definitely. So basically what he's doing is presenting him, like, okay, if we want to lower ratios, like fewer on-sites to hire, for example, so we're not taking more people's time, we need to be more clear to candidates about what we do. So taking that to the CTO and his team and getting them excited about doing something to show more about their environment so people understand it before they even apply has helped his cause. So giving him some data up front to say, here's how we're going to impact those numbers to save you time and help you drive your business.
Okay. There you go, hiring managers. I mean, corporate recruiters. That's how you talk to your hiring manager in terms of numbers. Now, you remember Celinda Appleby. Thank you for coming on, Celinda. She said she, in her own company where they already knew her, she had to go through 20 interviews. This is one of your ideas as well, that the interview process is just too long. It's like they're trying to get rid of the good candidates in these companies. Is that right?
Definitely. I don't know if this is for me or Celinda, but...
she's not here anymore. You're the guest. Unless I say I'm talking to somebody else, I'm talking to you, okay?
Roger that. Yes, I think absolutely. If you don't move with speed, I mean, if you look at software engineers as an example, they're only on the market for maybe 2 weeks once they come to a period where they're looking for a job. They're not just hanging out interviewing for 3 weeks at a time. You got to move fast. So those are the types of things that hiring managers need to understand.
Yeah, and how do you get them to understand that?
I think, again, like I lead with, you know, a lot of the folks that I know that are the best at this, they lead with, if you're making offers and the offers aren't being accepted because other people have taken jobs, then you've got to communicate this back to the hiring manager, because here they are, their team's falling in love with a candidate, but yet they're kind of thinking, hey, maybe there's other candidates out there, and they kind of wait to make a decision.
Yeah, and how do you convince them? So what happens? You lose a few candidates to other companies, and if you lay that on the table, these dummies are going to realize that they're what's wrong?
I think that it's going to be a longer educational process. The higher level the manager is, the more they'll understand it. The if they're more at a manager level, you know, and in the weeds, and they're still doing a job hands-on,
yeah,
then they're busy. Like, they're doing other things. They're going to be a little less responsive. They're not as connected to the business outcome.
Somebody just dared me to hang up on you, but I'm not that mean. I can hear what you're saying, even though it doesn't sound good. Okay, now, does anybody else have a question? I know you guys are going to come alive when Jerry gives you a chance, but here's your opportunity with me. Does somebody want to help me out here and ask Jason an interesting question?
Animal, it's Rebecca. I have a question. I'm looking at your website. How does this help me as a third-party recruiter? How does your product help me?
It's to screw you. Go ahead, Jason.
not true. So it's all about, as you can see, transparency. So we actually have an agency recruiting company coming on board in the next few weeks. And what they're doing is they're going to use, like, video or pictures of candidates that they've actually placed. They're going to use some testimonials from customers they've worked with. So it's more trying to create a pipeline of candidates versus a specific role in terms of agency hiring, more telling the story about what you're about. So that's one approach we're seeing to it. Others who are more on the search side, who might be working on a retainer or something like that that can share more customer information, had that happen too, where they're coming in and utilizing some of the collateral for the company itself if they're on a retainer basis.
Anybody else got a question for Jason or a comment? Come on, help me out. Help me out. You guys are all smart. You're smarter than me. Help me out. Come on. Sorry, Celinda only had 9 interviews, not 20. Celinda, your company is full of dummies, okay? They know you already. You're in the company, and they had to speak to you 9 times. What's wrong with them? Okay. Anyway, nobody's going to come. Okay, you say great recruiters need to be salespeople, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, top sales closers get the best leads funneled to them. They don't have to go bird dogging. All they do is close. That's what the best salesmen do. The lesser salespeople funnel the leads into them. And you're saying that it should be the same with recruiters. The best salespeople should be at the end of the funnel, and there should be some kind of underlings sending them the good people. Is that right?
So I think that my opinion is that,
you know what? Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. I'm not kidding. Talk a little louder. Say, I'm going to sound peppy on the Recruiting Animal Show so I differentiate myself and establish my brand, okay? Right now you're
absolutely
just like every other guest, and I thought you were going to be way better than them, okay? So you're struggling with your technology as well. Just say, I'm going to sound peppy. Go ahead.
I am going to sound peppy.
Good.
So, yep. I do believe that recruiters are salespeople. I mean, a lot of the things you're doing are no different than what salespeople do in terms of prospecting. You know, that's sourcing. In terms of being able to, like, get someone's trust to place you into a position, you've got to sell them. They've got to trust you. You've got to build a relationship with them.
Why do they have to trust you? You're presenting with facts. Why do they have to trust you? They don't have to trust me. They have to take a look at the job and see if it's for them. I can't tell them the job is for them. I'm not that well informed. Maybe some people are. They don't have to trust me. They have to figure out if the job is for them. Why do they have to trust me? Answer that.
Your percentages of having success, repeated success, are better if candidates trust you and you have a relationship versus if you don't. Like, do you want repeat business from a customer or repeat business, you know, if you want to play somebody again, you're much better off in the long term if you have trust.
Well, I've got to tell you something. You say on your blog as well, relationships is it. Relationships mean nothing. Getting the right candidate, that means everything. Giving somebody a decent job opportunity, that means everything. Relationship, it's like culture. I don't have to go and have beers with these guys. Leave that for Jerry, okay?
But the problem, will the person stick around? How long will they stay in a job? Will you be able to retain them? Will they actually perform at their peak? Like, if it's just more transactional with taking out the culture and taking out these
recruiting
pieces.
Recruiting is transactional. Recruiting is transactional. Does anyone have the guts to disagree with me on air? No. So either they agree or they don't agree. I don't know what's with them. They'll tell Jerry. Jerry's like their mother hen now. They're afraid to talk to me, but they'll talk to him. But I'm telling you, recruiting is a transactional process. Nobody does you a favor because they trust you. They figure out what's good for them, and that's what they do. And if you place somebody with a company and somebody else brings better people tomorrow, they'll go with that guy. Or if they're cheaper, they'll go with that guy. Okay. Ready? Next question. Good job ads. You say a good ad converts better than a bad one. You know what? I read the ads that you guys gave examples of. What's so good about the ads that you're doing that are different from the ads from other people? I personally couldn't tell the difference. You tell me
the text,
how your ads
the
are different.
The text is no different. Like the text, people can put in whatever they want. You know, they can copy a job ad in or answer some questions. What's different about our ads is that we attach a visual element. We attach comments, like find me a job ad that's got comments anywhere online. And the social elements from having those drive the job. Like, find me a job that's got 300 shares on it, a job ad. We've got them. Like, it happens. So it's because as people go onto a mobile device, they're looking at pictures, right? They're not going to sit and read a whole job ad. But we do have the job ad on there because candidates have told us we still like to see the 1, 2, and 3 to round out the picture. So it's not just about the text.
Anybody got a comment? I mean, okay. So the videos are the thing. So your whole message is if you want to get good people and you're advertising, go with the videos of the employees. That's the key. Am I right?
It's not just video. It's pictures. It's like showing more. I mean, even
okay, but
the
you say not the ordinary pictures. You want to see pictures of the office, not the office party. Is that right?
That's true. I mean, you go on most companies' Facebook page and you look at their photos and it's all like, here's the last conference we were at, here's the like party we had. But what's it like day to day? Like, forget about all that stuff. What's it like day to day? What am I going to be sitting in the middle of every day? That's what I want to know as a candidate. That's what candidates are telling me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I got to ask you something, though. Are you going to get an honest answer from the candidate, from the employees that you put on the video, or are you going to get only going to ask people who, you know, are going to say what you want them to?
Well, I think there's two different kinds of videos. There's candidates don't want to see a commercial. So to your point, if people are coming on and they're not authentic, that's a problem. But now if you look at the advent of, like, Instagram video, and these things are going to make being on brand more easy. There's an opportunity to – that makes authenticity more acceptable for people out there. So,
okay, so you've got a, one of your shticks is that you don't need to have a fancy video with a tripod. You can just pull up a flip video and put that online, something really 15 seconds long. Is that right?
Absolutely. You can even record from your desktop. And
uh-huh.
I think that's the way it's going. If you have somebody coming in with a tripod, $20,000, you know, crew and everything, that can come off as a commercial to people. And so that's where the candidate experience is at a premium because we've tested a lot of this and seen they actually don't watch those commercial type videos as long as they'll watch something that's authentic.
Okay, but you know, selling is presenting, you're putting your best foot forward. Nothing that you see that a company is going to present to you is going to be reflect poorly on them, right? So you're seeing the good part. So maybe at least maybe that's at least something. You know that there's something there rather than nothing. You know that you're missing something. When you see the video, you're saying, I don't know what the other shoe to drop is until I get inside the firm. Is that right? Is that what the sophisticated viewer is telling herself?
It's actually what we've seen is people who have been hired through these ads talk about when they actually applied was like when the onboarding process started. Like the expectation coming in actually matched what the result was. And we have multiple hires tell us that. Like it was what they thought it would be. And by the way, it's not saying, hey, just give some, you know, pomp and circumstance about the job. It's like, if you communicate, look, you're going to be making 80 calls a day, or you're going to be doing whatever the dirty work is, communicate it. Because then what you're doing is helping filter people out on the front end that don't want to do it.
Jim Durbin, you're open.
I'm a little confused why you would use a service for this.
Yeah, I'm going there and I'll
change about the word transparency and openness. I don't know many companies that really want to talk about transparency and openness for all but the best roles, unless they're tiny and tiny. I mean, if their idea that you can have an authentic candidate or an authentic employee talk about what's about the company, what job seeker believes that? I think what happens is jobs are so badly posted, anything shows. It's kind of like going to a car dealer. If your car's beat up and you're looking for a new car, no matter what you do, your car is better than the one you have. So the idea that a job post, because you put some pictures and video, which are great, the idea that somehow they transform it, I can't believe that actually is something you pay for. I mean, you can do that with your phone these days. Am I wrong?
Somehow, no, but Jason believes the OnGig site delivers better. Is that right? This is your opportunity to sell that. Jason.
Absolutely. So right now what happens is all the information is disparate, whether it's you've got videos on YouTube, you've got pictures on Facebook, you've got the job ad on the careers page. What we're saying is put it in one place where you can communicate clearly and then distribute it out across the Internet. So that's what we're saying.
Isn't that the point of the career site, though?
Well, our free product is on our site. Anybody can go in and they can create a job for free. And then if we get into more paid.
At OnGig, ONGIG.com, right?
Correct. And then, so it's free all the time, anytime. Anybody can go there and try it. And then where we get into more paid subscription type models is we actually are doing private labeling. So these, like one of our biggest customers is Yelp, for example. They're hiring hundreds of salespeople. When you go to their careers page, you may not know you're on an OnGig page. What's the advantage of that? Most out there have to wait 6, 9, 12 months for IT or marketing to update the website. What we do is create a layer behind there so you can constantly be putting new content up, people a different and new experience, not, you know, static career site. And then the other thing about it is a career site, it's a front page. But as soon as people get down to the job level, the experience disappears. So what we're doing is saying, hey, here's the landing page. But beyond that, you have the ability to market more than just the career page where you're depending on a candidate, by the way, to find the right job on your website. We're saying, hey, you can also market at the job level really interesting and high-level content.
Okay. Jim,
so
anything
who's
else?
Creating that interesting high-level content?
He said they can create it on there with their own cameras, so like you said, right? Anybody could do it. It's now anarchy.
Yeah, anybody can walk in there right now and do it themselves right from their own phone or from their own desktop if they wanted.
Okay.
Or if you have existing YouTube videos, you can stick those in there too.
Let me do a few more ads, okay? Recruiters.com. If you're a recruiter and you're online, you should register on Recruiters, RECRITERS, recruiters.com. It's a directory of recruiters and HR people online from our good friend, Chris Russell. I'm registered there. Online job tour. I think you should take a look at that, Jason. They've got a similar idea to you. They put everything on one site. Plus, you know, they specialize in advertising for hospitals in small towns. And so there's all kinds of information about the town and testimonials about what it's like to live there and these kind of videos from people working inside the company, the hospital in this case, doctors, nurses, etc. Onlinejobtour.com. Carl Brickman is looking for recruiters who want to partner with him, who will market this to their big customers. So if you're interested, have a chat with him. Rebecca Sargent already told you about her classes. Tempworks.com. Haven't seen Greg Dergarian for some time, but he's a good guy. You might want to check out his site. Now, what should we talk about for the last 5 minutes? Cookie cutter recruiting? You tell me what you'd like to talk about. You make a point that LinkedIn is a better site for job ads than Facebook because people, it's more targeted to professionals. Is that right?
So there's two different things with Facebook and LinkedIn. If you're looking for more of a broad message and a lot of new people to come to your site, Facebook is the place to go. And if you're looking for somebody, by the way, that's 0 to 2 type years of experience, Facebook we see blowing away LinkedIn and some of our recent instances that I brought up with, like, Yelp, for example, doing much better. LinkedIn, as probably most of you on this call know, it's a little more targeted. It's, you know, the engagement
level is
a little bit
higher. Let me ask you something about that before the time runs out. On Facebook, what are you doing? Are you putting ads on the company page, the business page on Facebook? And if so, how are you getting people to see it? Since you can't send out messages to everybody you want to on Facebook, how are you getting people to see your ad on Facebook? Is it a Facebook ad?
No, it's actually organic. So if you look at, we have one job that's been shared 211 times on Facebook. So a lot of it's coming organically from people that are coming to the job and sharing it. So that drives.
But how do they come to the job? How do they come to the job? Listen to me. There's only a few minutes left. How do they come to the job on Facebook?
So they're coming to the job. Basically, people are clicking the Facebook button underneath the video. And they're sharing it. So what happens is 4.2 people come to the job page for every time somebody clicks that button. So if I'm a company, what I'll do is I put this job ad up, I'll have my employees share it, and then it starts to hit all their networks, and then people, you know, continue, and the radius continues to build.
But didn't you say, Jason, I think I saw this last night on your blog, and I couldn't find it again this morning, that JobVite has a tool called JobVite Publisher that allows employees to send out ads, job ads, to their networks. And didn't you say that they're not using it, that the employee referral system is not working that well?
Well, because most – what happens is you have a lot of the customers I've talked to, you have employees that have to sign into the tool, and they don't control when they share it. It gets shared automatically. And by the way, have you seen what they're sharing? It's not very good. So at the end of the day, it's like, oh, sorry, I broke the rules. The result is this is organic. We're not making people share it.
Okay, so what you're saying is these systems that everybody's been bragging about lately, this is explosive. If only we could hear you say it clearly, that you're saying all these systems where you get your employee to sign on, they take control of their network, and you pump out their your jobs to their networks, that's not working, right?
I wouldn't do it. Like, I only want to share stuff that is relevant to me and that I like. I don't want to share stuff that's like they're making me share it. Like, and I don't even know what's going to be shared. It just gets shared on my behalf. Sorry.
This is good content. No one's going to appreciate it because you sound muffled. Okay, that's
thank
my
that everybody hung up already. I just felt morally obligated to call in here and see how this thing went. But I can't do the after show, man.
Why not? You better
do
the after show. Does somebody else want to do the after show? There's lots of people here. Somebody else want to do the after show for Jerry?
See, there's a good example. It's a lot of pressure. People don't just step up to it because it's like getting hit in the face with a football.
Jim Durbin.
You know, I have my issues with all of them, with recruiting blogs. Dave.
Shut up, Oprah. Okay.
Shut up, Oprah. Who's going to do the animal show for me?
No,
the after show.
The after show. He's going to do that. Jim Durbin's going to do it. Jim Durbin.
I'll do it for Jerry. I have called
thank
him,
you, man.
Who is that? Who's that? Is that Blake? Who's doing the after show?
Durbin, I'll do it.
Oh, Durbin. Okay, good. Okay, so
thank
Jerry.
You, thank
okay.
You.
Now.
Hey, he doesn't get any of my money, though, Animal. He's just doing this as a, like a.
I'm just doing it as a favor to Jerry.
Yes, maybe next time, Jimmy. Okay. But not
now,
this
guy.
We need to see how you
do it. Okay. I'll use this confidence to go out and pick up the phone and call someone and make money.
Yeah.
I want to get into your other group, and I haven't made a placement in August yet, so I've got work to do.
The only qualifier is, do you make placements? Is it on your mind? Are you trying to do it? Do you have a send-out? Did you make a send-out? Do you have a job order on your desk? A.K.A. not the hot air traveling social media circus parade. The
okay. No, it says every 2 weeks. It says if you haven't done it in 2 weeks, you're not good. So.
No. Hey, Amy Alla is trying to say something, Animal.
Is she on the line?
She's not on the line.
Well, no, a couple of lines are blocked because they were making noise. I'll open everybody up again.
No, that's, yeah.
There
making
you are,
noise. That's
wow,
like
she was rambling just
noise.
Right when you, whoa.
Like, I haven't stopped talking.
That's like when you open a pop that you shook up a little bit right there.
I'm yelling over here.
Well, I should have opened her up earlier, but there was all kinds of noise. Now, listen, I want to sign off by giving a message to my friend Jason Webster. Jason, I'm so happy you came on the show. You've got a great blog. It's full of content, much better than 99% of the blogs out there. All you got to do is get on a phone that would allow us to hear it more clearly, okay? So I just have to say that again. I'm sorry for being so tough with you, but you seemed so in tune with me. You were eager to come on the show. You sent me notes in advance. I was very happy about that, and then you broke a fundamental rule. I just was frustrated, and I couldn't understand. But you have good content. You have something to say. I know these guys, it's not going to impact them, but what you just told us about those automated employee referral systems is phenomenal. They don't get it, but I get it, and I want you to know that, and I want to say thank you for coming on the show!
Okay, welcome to the aftermath of the Animal Show. Maybe call it the after show.
I'm listening here just to kind of critique this, you know, in my own way.
Didn't you have stuff to do? I thought the host...
Yes, I do have stuff to do.
You've
got to
go send some invoices.
No, I was...
Well, yeah, you...
I only do invoices every other Tuesday.
Every other day.
We're bi-weekly.
Math.
Bi-weekly payroll, bi-weekly invoicing, bi-weekly everything.
So
I just had to reset my Fifth Third bank account password.
Who's got their first comments? Who wants to throw in their first comments about the guest, about the topic of the show today? Amy, if you're there, you should be able to go first.
Thank you. I've been abandoned. I expected a lot more. I think Animal just blew it. A good friend of mine, Jeff Baumgarten here in Seattle, knows Jason and highly recommended him. So I was kind of excited to hear from him. And, you know, somebody that I respect thinks highly of this guy. So I think there was maybe more we could have gotten out of him that might have been good. But we don't know because the Animal screwed it up.
Now, that whole phone quality was horrible. I can't be involved in
too.
Junk like that.
That's
yeah,
true. So
was that Animal or was that Jason? Was
no,
that Animal or Jason?
Jason this time. Normally I think it's Animal. This time I think it was Jason.
Yeah, Animal
was
Jason. Screw that up.
That always does. I find that interesting. People who, big new business ventures, startup life and all that stuff, can't even afford a phone. Your ability to communicate clearly and be heard is number one in business.
Get talked into doing the voice over IP. It seems like such a good idea. It ties into everything that you're doing. And you know, you're looking at a phone. You know, it's just ridiculous to get the phone line a lot of times. And most of them aren't making outbound phone calls anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not a phone system. Heck, a lot of people are VoIP now. So, okay, who else has comments about the guest or the topic? Or Animal. No one.
It's Rebecca here. I don't see how he's relevant to us, but you know, I didn't see how Jason was relevant to third party.
I could kind of see it. I mean, all he's saying is spice up your job postings. Maybe there was more to that. That's all I got though, is that video and pictures create a bit more of a vibrant online image than just posting. But
YouTube will do that for
me. I couldn't tell what more there was than that. Yeah.
Aren't you guys about tired of all the pictures, though? Recruiting blogs is turning into Everybody thinks you have to have a big, vibrant image on every single tidbit out there, and it's clogging it up. Even Twitter is turning into another picture posting bunch of crap.
Well, that's kind of where the design is going, because you got to remember, we've got all these millennials coming up after us, and they can't read, so they like pictures.
They don't know what pagers are.
And 8-second videos, so... The old days isn't. I mean, the truth is it works, and most of the population, you know, they want to see its design. It's, you want it to look. It's not just having a picture; it's having something look professionally designed. So it's templates and themes and everything else to play so that you see it. But that's just a marginal thing, you know. It's not really the meat of recruiting. So I was surprised that he didn't get any more into it. I mean, he had analytics. But he didn't get into discussion of that much. He says we can see things on Facebook. So, if you notice too, all of his clients—I don't know if you guys caught this—if you hit the descriptions of clients were all very low-level salespeople type of things that they were talking about. So when you're hitting these college kids and others, that's why he was big on Facebook. It seemed like those were the people they were. I mean, that makes if you're entry level, you know, you're looking for something exciting, you can go with job posting
good pictures
and
paper on it.
Online.
Yeah.
You see one pictures, you go, oh, hey, look at this professional company. It's a way of faking size. So you feel like you have a future. Maybe that's
see, also did I hear, because I was gone for about half the show, but when I dialed back in, I heard him say, in response to Animal's question, about I see you recruit on Facebook or you do Facebook. You know, the tool helps you is Facebook recruiting, when all it is if somebody wants to share it over onto Facebook. That's not Facebook recruiting.
Yeah, no.
Is
Facebook
it?
Recruiting. I mean, I think you're parsing. We have to parse words there. I mean, if they post it on Facebook, that's considered Facebook recruiting. So it's not like it's,
to me, I'd like a tool that can search through everybody on Facebook and tell me everything that people I don't even know do
open
and are talking
graph.
About and all
that
stuff.
Open Graph. Jerry, are you using Open Graph?
Open Graph. Isn't that only within your own network?
No. It's a really
heavy application. Everybody?
Yeah.
I'm sure
everybody,
that they
everywhere.
Follow with something. They have to be working on something eventually.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try out Open Graph. Sounds interesting. Where do I find that?
Just put it in the search bar at the top of Facebook and download the Open Graph application.
Oh, new graph search is here.
Yeah,
it doesn't say Open Graph. It just says new graph search is here. Search your friends by name.
Yeah, graph search is the search. Open Graph is the API that allows you to pull it out. So.
Oh, okay.
It's the developer's piece. Okay, so anyone else out there want to jump in before we jump to scores? Just in general, is there something that you wish that the show had brought on? A topic we didn't get to?
There's a ton of people.
How do we like
online.
The ads? Anybody like the
There's
ads?
There's 10 people here at least on the call.
You're blowing it, Jim!
Why?
Why?
I'm just
Animal
kidding.
On the show. Why
that's what Animal says. Can I get
okay,
my scores?
Let's get some scores? Yeah, you start off with your scores.
Both
do we write these or we just pretend
30s. 0 to 100. They each get 30. If Animal doesn't get a grip on the technology of this show, and I'm out. My ears are trained, okay, to only want to receive the highest quality signal. That
Got
hurt
it.
Me badly, and I couldn't be really a party to it.
So
it's
I'll
like having somebody come over
Jerry
for dinner and the food
take,
is crap.
Jerry wants to take all the recruiting costs, the show costs, operational costs, and invest in capital expenditure. It's going to impact your salary, Jerry. I hope you're okay with that.
Animal? You could take.
We may have to.
Yeah.
We may have to cut you down 30-40% while we
have
to the audience.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm even going to go further than that. I'm going to say 75% of next
towards
year's contract. I want to roll it back into the technology, and I don't want any further ownership than I've got now.
Got it.
50-50 is fine with me. So yeah, my scores are 30-30. I didn't even know what that guy was saying. I wish him the best. Good luck. San Francisco's a cool place. Get a phone.
It's expensive.
You know, there's some of that happens. I wonder sometimes when we hear words like transparency and others. I mean, we hear it parroted out in flyover country, but it sure seems like what he was talking about wouldn't take off anywhere else. Like,
are you talking about me? I am flyover country.
Me too, buddy. The
Texas.
The,
Texas isn't flyover country, is it?
Yeah. Anything besides New York, Los Angeles, and D.C. is flyover country.
What about Chicago?
Flyover country. Nobody
knows
anything
about
Seattle?
Seattle's
like this weird, cool tech place that nobody knows about and thinks it rains a lot and eats sushi. So.
It does rain a lot.
Let me describe
it.
Great, I'm going to throw Detroit.
Okay. That's my scores. I'm sorry, but I got to roll.
Hey, Jerry, we're done.
Can I throw my 2 cents in from Detroit?
Please do. Who's this?
Okay, great.
Nahez.
Yeah. Today's show was like going through the, you know, the burger prep line to make a really great burger, and it's got all the stuff there, the bun, the condiments, and everything. But the only thing that's missing is the actual burger.
Where's okay. the beef reference? Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, yeah.
Extra points.
There,
cool points for that.
I'm sure the guys. This is harkening back to a whole series of shows. I'm so glad we didn't get into the whole spamming thing for once. First of all, I'm going to give them both a 10 because I still have no clue what the
Ow.
Point. I stuck around because this was like a car crash. I just want to see how many people were dead at the end, okay? I'm sorry. I know words mean things, especially for us. You know, we spend all our time on the phone talking to people and words. I was with you, Jerry. I just could not – I couldn't get the words to – it was like the guy was speaking Martian or something. You know, so.
If we were playing recruiter word bingo, we all would have won. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the shark was jumped a long time ago on video resumes. Okay.
Talking about video resumes. He was talking about video job postings. He was talking about expanded video and pictures on job postings to show.
I would be
hypocritical. That's a viable business. There's a spot there for that.
Let me make a real quick comment. We did video job postings on YouTube and set up a YouTube, and we got about 100 of them up there. And I will tell you that mission was accomplished, but we had to go through a rebranding, okay? So I had to stop doing it for about a year. But it was really it was giving us a lot of exposure, and we were getting candidates and we were getting applicants through YouTube video job postings, and we came up with just a little clever intro and a little clever, you know, end to it, and only made them about 45 seconds to a minute. And I just got on there and just word blurted for 30 seconds, and it was really it got passed around. And but again, my office had to go through a rebranding. I could actually support that. So I guess it just goes to show.
Well, he didn't explain it well enough if people didn't quite get that. He used so many buzzwords that here you believe in the product he's talking about, whether it's not the specific vendor, and then he couldn't get it across. He wasn't able to explain why it made a difference. I think it's because he pitches it as a silver bullet. Rather than,
well,
hey,
I did hear the word Yelp about 17 times, and actually three. But, you know, so I know he did land himself a decent account. But anyway,
and
I'm sales sorry.
Salesforce and a couple other places. I mean, but all in San Francisco and all based on, I mean, he had 15 years at Tech Systems, you know, to build those relationships with engineers. So, I mean, that's definitely a part of it.
But it was interesting about the show is that the first 25 minutes was burned up on nothing. It was nebulous.
Yeah.
It was talking about, it first started out, it was hey, agency recruiters stink, and then it went to hiring managers stink.
Don't you think we have to blame Animal for that? Because he read blog posts that nobody else had read, and he was working off of those. So he would read them, and he'd ask opinion, but, you know, blog posts can lead into... I kind of felt that because we hadn't read him, we didn't know what he was talking about. And so he'd pick, like, hey, hiring managers suck. That's a big discussion. And how do you do that without trying to offend someone? I think that was his fault for trying to, you know, if you could do that, pick one post and explore it. That's why he got the 10s. That's pretty rough.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Anyway, guys, it was good. At least listening to you for the last 5 minutes.
Who else? Who else got scores? Amy.
Hi. I'm so mad at Animal for muting me. He's still saying it was my line. I've been on the same line all day. It's an office line. Bunch of crap. Can I give him a negative number? Is that possible?
Sure. It's all average
so
now.
Irritated.
So
irritated. You know, I'm gonna give him a 13, actually.
A negative 13 or a positive 13?
A positive 13.
Okay.
I'm feeling generous. I am going to be a guest in a couple weeks. So, yeah. And I'm going to give, I normally give at least 40 for showing up. I'm going to give the guest 45 because I think it was salvageable. I think the guest's biggest problem was the phone. Crappy phone. The system was bad. I mean, there's a lot of things that went wrong there, so I'm kind of dinging him for that. But I do, again, I mentioned this earlier, I know somebody who knows him personally and speaks highly of him, and this guy wouldn't think highly of this guy if there wasn't some substance. You know what I mean? So we didn't get to talk about that, though, because Animal muted my line, and I couldn't ask questions.
Right.
I'm going to give him a 45. I think he should come back, and I think that Animal should stick to the outline, because apparently this guy prepped for the show. He gave Animal an outline. Let's talk about these specific themes. Animal was all over the place, talking about, oh, look at this blog post. Oh, look at that ad. Oh, look at this video. What the hell are you even talking about? Maybe we should have the outline ahead of time so we know where the show's supposed to go so we can get Animal back on track.
That might be interesting. If he pre-posted it so people could jump on it, that would be useful. Because I ran into that problem, too. We were rushing through those outlines,
mm-hmm.
and I think people begin to sense. So anybody else? Who else has scores? Anyone else want to throw it in there? I'll give mine. So I'm going to be a little nicer. And my first thoughts were to be as nasty as you guys were. But I'm going to give the guest a 55. And it's mainly based on extra credit work. He prepped
mm-hmm.
ahead of time. He didn't get angry at Animal when he yelled at him. The phone had some issues, of course. I felt that he ducked a lot of questions and used a lot of buzzwords, and there was a tone in his voice that I've heard a lot of times from people who are not comfortable in this space. I mean, this is my space, recruitment marketing. I really know this well, and I felt like he was using buzzwords rather than selling directly. I thought he could have been better. I just felt like he didn't necessarily perform. So I can't say he was down to the 30s because I think he did have relevant information. I just feel he was trying not to offend and fell back on. There was no meat, exactly what Jeremy said. There was no beef to it. And there is, it's just he didn't tell us what that was. Animal, I'm going to give a 52 because he kept trying and he did all that prep work. But he just, for some reason, he wasn't able to draw it out of him. I think the buzzwords were getting him excited for the wrong reasons, which is weird because he has lots of those people on. So,
yeah, that's kind of strange. I wish Jason would have been more firm. You know, like, this is what I think and this is where I stand beyond the conflict. Yeah.
But here's the thing. He was a manager for many of those years, and you know how that ruins people, so.
Oh, yes. Especially an agency manager.
You're always telling people how the clients are as good and your lazy recruiters and salespeople don't work as hard, you know.
Exactly.
You know, it becomes a problem. You're not forced to do the work anymore. It does tell you the perils, too. Once you step out of recruiting and move into some other field, it's, you know, I'm sure if he was talking about a search, if he'd given us descriptions of searches he did, I'm sure he would have done fine. But he's in a kind of a new world. And even though he's been doing it a couple of years, I just don't trust anybody coming out of San Francisco saying they're going to fix recruiting.
Well, because the assumption is that there's something wrong with recruiting. There's nothing wrong with the act of recruiting. There's nothing wrong with putting people in jobs together. What's wrong is all the stupid ways we try to do that. If you just get down to the brass tacks of what recruiting is, it's just fine. It's all these experts who want to screw it up with all these extra stupid processes.
Well, I mean, I like pictures and video. Don't you think that I mean, if you think of the typical company, that's the thing I've noticed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When we get out there and we have these arguments, you know, a lot of times it's third party versus corporate and small corporate versus big corporate. I mean, there are times when I'll be listening and people will be arguing, I'm thinking, you're just talking past each other. When small companies, like that horrible way of, hey, let's reach out to the hiring manager using LinkedIn, that's a horrible strategy unless it's a very small company with an HR manager who doesn't recruit. And in that case,
yep.
since they don't get a lot of applications, it's a great strategy for a job candidate. But at PepsiCo, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah,
you know, reaching out to a recruiter who calls 100 people, don't send me LinkedIn invitations. I'll accept them, but I won't talk to you because I just you can't survive that way. So I think sometimes we argue past each other.
Yeah.
I think it's a shame because, you know, clearly if someone's making money, they're not doing something too wrong. And maybe it doesn't apply everywhere, but there's a reason no one has 50% of the market.
That's right.
So, okay, anybody else? Any other scores that are out there? None at all. None at all. Clearly, I really was ruining it up. I'd just like to point that Animal, that my score was higher than all three of the scores he got combined from the other people. So I really lifted him up today.
Yeah, you did. He owes you.
Yeah.
Did you see the Hershey video?
No.
The guy who posted, it's on Animal's Facebook page, this talent acquisition manager, the cool new title of the day. He posted he's hiring for Hershey's, you know, the chocolate company, and he made a video, like literally holding his iPhone in front of him and this like 7-minute video about hiring a recruiter, basically. So I would have loved to have heard, what did someone like Jason think of that? It was...
Sure.
Not great. You know,
hey, it's hard to talk about content on a radio show, though.
Yeah.
Animal's got to switch to video. It's time we get him a Personify action live camera and start looking at him while he's talking.
Yeah. Can you imagine
that would be...
the facial expressions?
Screaming. Okay, well, I guess if everyone's
great.
Done, does anybody want to cover anything else? We figure we got 9 minutes left in the show. Or should we go try to make some money and get in Jerry's other group? Do you guys know what the group is, at least? Jerry's got a group that says recruiters who actually make placements.
I know. He let me in. I was so surprised. But I did hire a bunch of Canadians, but I did not meet until they came in for their interview.
Yeah, what's the point of hiring Canadians?
You know, I think they're just too nice to tell me no. Because I live in Seattle, but I'm not nice like Seattle people. I'm more like Nahez in Detroit. So I just kind of bowl people over and tell them what they're going to do. And by the time they realize they've accepted, it's too late to tell me no. I think that's the secret.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Are there any issues? aren't they on, what are they called, F1s?
Yeah, it's going to be a while before they actually start because there's obviously a process that has to happen, but Microsoft does a really good job with that. We've got teams that just handle that stuff, you know? I mean, I'm so glad I don't have to get involved in some of those details because I wouldn't have the first clue. But, yeah, it's exciting, and they're coming from Toronto and Ottawa, so they're pretty far away. It's not like Vancouver.
Sure.
Right now. Kind of
cool. So I was talking to a guy. I had a guy come over, and he and his wife were buying a couch, and they ended up just sitting down and chatting with us for an hour. Turns out he was a recruiter. He's a physician recruiter, and he began to explain to me how they do their business. I got to tell you guys, some of these guys are so advanced. Like, if he had asked me to help him, I'm not sure what I could have done outside of just the margins. They have direct mail. They have everything coded to world. They've got teams of sources that are in place, and their sales cycles are ridiculously long. But they've got this great contract where it's retainer, but it's retainer every month. It's a small fee every month that builds up for 4 or 5 months before you get the contingent fee on the back end. I'm like, wow, this stuff was super sophisticated for a third party, and it doesn't seem a lot of people are there yet. It seems you've got old school folks who are still using their phones and their databases and doing it the way they've always been taught and being wildly successful. You know, it's not forget that. And then newer folks who tend to be more targeted and niche. So I haven't seen a lot of people combine those, so I'm really interested to see if there's other folks who – you guys remember a couple weeks ago the guy was on with the email and he was bragging about the email send-outs and he was just basically spamming managers with like 10,000 resumes per hire. Imagine that done right. And that's what these physician recruiters are doing. It's really, really impressive.
Oh, my God. You need to. That was the best 2 minutes of this show. You need to con that guy into coming on the show.
I don't think he would.
I would
make
love
too much money doing it right.
I would eat that up.
Oh, my God.
Animal send him a basket of Canadian stuff or something.
Imagine, I don't know if you guys know what I do, but I mean, I train people on doing this. Imagine what happens when you go, I can't help you. You're too, I mean, I told them about broad look. That's what I was able to help them with.
Yeah.
But of course, this broad is the same guy that's buying a used couch.
Well, it's not a used couch. It's a custom made designer couch. So.
Oh, all right.
We work. I like our marketing firm works with furniture companies, and so we have.
Oh, I need
nice
to talk to you.
Companies.
I need some new living room furniture.
You don't want to buy this stuff. Once your wife figures out what stuff costs, your life will never be the same. You'll never be on the show because you'll be working too hard.
Oh God. We'd miss you, man.
I'm coming back in a few weeks. I'm just trying to figure out, and I'm trying to. Animal refuses to communicate other than through, you know, through email, and I really want to try to. I want to make it very substantive and offer some good stuff. But I've got to have some. I want to make sure that it, you know, we don't have 15 people screaming, you know, for the first half hour, you know.
You know what's going to work is literally just give him three examples with a lot of meat, and he will dig through those, because that's what people want to hear. If this guy had come on and talked about what he did for Yelp and what he did for Salesforce and what he did for whoever the rest was, and described it in detail and gave the numbers and pointed out how it was better or how he sold doing this, I think it would have been fine. I think we've just all reached the point where we don't want to hear people talk about strategy or theory. We just want to know, does it work? And where does it work? And how small was the company? And how much did you charge? And all the other things that justify us getting off the phones.
Hey, I posted out there, the NAPS conference is going to be in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks. Is anybody planning on going? Anybody?
I haven't been to one in years. Last time I went was in Texas when I wasn't living there, but...
I don't get out much.
This is not looking good.
Well, it's third party. NAPS is third party. It's good.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting, you know.
All right, cheers, all. I got to get on a conference call in a couple minutes, so catch you later.
All right. See you, Nan.
See you guys.
Bye.
Anybody coming to SourceCon?
It's in Seattle. I wish. I could use some good sushi.
Yes. It's on campus here apparently too, so I'm gonna sneak in. So I don't get a ticket. I don't know.
Oh, you're gonna sneak in. Give Jeremy Roberts a call. Don't sneak in.
Yeah, I know. We were tweeting earlier. I'm gonna.
You work for Microsoft. You guys have like
$1 billion
in cash. How can you? I could afford SourceCon. How can you? Maybe that's why I'm not a $60 billion cash guy.
I don't know. Maybe that's exactly. They're not. You're not saving the cash. Yeah, I'll report back on that.
I was in the son of a CEO of Ralston Perina's house. I was in the CEO of the house of the Ralston Perina CEO, and his son was throwing a small party for all his friends, and my brother was one of his friends, so he invited me over. I get over, and this house is ridiculous. It was like 15 years ago, and it had the whole Microsoft-enabled house, but 15 years ago, and it was really expensive, and everything was set up. Plasma screens on the wall when they were $20,000 a shot. I mean, it's, you know, glass everywhere, ridiculous. I get down, and the kid offers me a beer. Natural light. And that's how the rich stay rich, folks. Keep that in mind. They drive Ford Tauruses, and they drink natural light. They don't go to fancy conferences. They drive Ford Tauruses, and they hand out natural light.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, hey,
doing it wrong.
With the animal show. Everybody come back next week, and remember... to yell at Animal before the show starts to turn your line on and give him the number so he knows. That's what I did. I gave him my area code, and he was able to unmute it.
That's what I should have done. All right,
hey, was he able to unmute me at all?
Oh,
do what?
You're here now.
Hey, what's going on? This is Derek. I thought I'd just pop on at the end of the show. Looks like I missed another stinker or what?
there were some tough scores. There were some concerns that there wasn't a lot of meat, was the way Jeremy put it.
You know, I think I'm going to have to start coming on the show. I don't hear Jerry. He must have ran for cover. But just wanted to step in and say hi to you folks. This is Derek Stolpe out of Pittsburgh.
Hey, Derek, Pittsburgh. Fastest
by way of Racine, Wisconsin, which is second ranked to Detroit.
What list is that?
I still go back to visit family, but I always bring a shotgun, so it's all right.
That's funny. That's funny. Okay. Well, hey, welcome back. And now we're all leaving because the show's shutting off in about 30 seconds. Thank you all for coming. All
right, guys.
The Recruiting
See you next week.
Animal Show.